impression that we know something. So sometimes a little bit of knowledge can be very, very dangerous. Yeah, little bit of knowledge can be very, very dangerous. Okay, there is a lot of things I wanted to mention, if you guys would like. Okay, inshallah, bismillah. So, I went to another book, okay, this is by Imam Ibn Jawzi, and he mentions some parables. So regarding ignorance itself, he mentions, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين كفروا أعمالهم كسراب بقيعة يحسبه الظمآن ماء حتى إذا جاءه لم يجده شيئا ووجد الله عنده فوفاه حسابه والله كظلمات في بحر لجي يغشاه موج من فوقه موج من فوقه سحاب ظلمات بعضها فوق بعض إذا أخرج يده لم يكد يراها وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا نُورًا. These are like a mirage in a very... It is water until when he comes to it, he finds it is subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of him. And then Allah will pay him in full his due. And Allah is swift in account. Or the example is such of the individual within a vast sea, which the clouds are over others. And then this, of course, is in the darkness of the night. And if he was to get his hand out, he can hardly see it. And he to whom Allah has not granted any light, for him there will be no light. So the second one, a person who is in complete darkness, this person unfortunately, he doesn't know that he's ignorant. He's just living life. He's just living, chilling. He can't see anything. So this could be... And of course, in the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, i.e. that is purely, if it's through Allah's mercy that Allah wants to guide him, then he will be guided. But otherwise, he's just... living in such a way that you can't see. However, the other example, the first initial example, is like what we were talking about, our discussion over here. That a person, he truly felt and he believed that he was on a particular way of life and he's living his whole entire life and he was bringing as much deeds along with Allah gives, that he is like an individual who's in the desert, barren land, and due to his thirst, he saw something in the distance and it seemed like a mirage, very wavy, and that scene, it seems like there's water over there. So then that thirst of his that he had in the barren land, it drove him, it brought him close, he's coming, he believes there's water there, he's going, he's making that effort, making that journey, but then once he gets there, there's nothing there. And then Allah mentions, only Allah is there, then Allah will give his full, whatever is due, which is nothing. So this is quite interesting, because the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions barren land, and why so applicable to this example is the fact that the reality is there's nothing over here. And the only thing that he had with him was his thirst. And this is what drove him. Same way, he was driven by his hawa. He was driven by his desires, what he felt was correct. So that drove him to live and continue life. And then when he found his death, then... unfortunately, there was nothing there. And the reality of the barren land is there's nothing there. So he had completely nothing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from such a situation. Ameen. And another little point that I would like to mention as well. Regarding this aspect of ignorance, okay, where a person, they neither believe they have knowledge, they're just following whoever they are following. This is also very detrimental. In fact, Imam Ibn Qayyim again, he mentions in another book of his, Talbis al-Iblis, min aqbahi talbisihi, yani from the most repugnant and very detrimental disillusions of shaitan over mankind, is the fact that he makes him or makes mankind follow whatever his forefathers are upon, without any looking towards any dalil. Bila nadhrin ila dalilin. So he mentions very quickly that when it's asked to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُوا مَا أَلْفَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the author brings this in his explanation, that when it is mentioned to them that follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, they will say, rather we will follow whatever we have found our forefathers doing. And Allah then says, is it not a case that even if your forefathers had no intellect, no understanding, and they themselves were not guided, A lot of times, subhanAllah, even in Muslim households, unfortunately, there is so much stubbornness in the way we have our approach to life, where we are not going to change our ways. If there's any practices that are being done for many, many years, and this sort of discussion, it relates more closely to practices which we associate to Islam, we associate to the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we've just been doing as we've been hearing. Subhanallah, there was a many years ago, every Eid time, some people, they'll be made to touch the feet of their parents. I don't know if that was common in other households, but because of, as a way of respect towards the elders, they will do that. But this is a practice which is completely prohibited, because we are only allowed to show that level of honor and ta'zeem to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are only allowed to bow down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something, of course, very, very closely linked to the Hindu culture. And of course, us communities, you know, from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, you know, before the whole partition and before the whole separation of everything, of course, even for example, that in the Bengali culture, is bride's parents, they feel pressured and obliged that they must spend cope for the groom's family. For the groom's comes from the Hindu culture. And how deep does it go? In the Hindu culture, some parts of the Hindus, that they treat the woman like a slave. They treat her like a commodity, to the extent that the brother of the husband will also sleep with that wife. They'll share the woman. This is how it is. This is how they treat the bride that comes into the new home. And there are traces, small traces of that, that have also unfortunately seeped into our cultures as well. So we are not thinking about where is the foundation of these practices. We have to go back to Islam. This is the source of correct guidance, right? So ignorance, just to wrap up, this is basically it. How detrimental it is. We have to make sure, number one, that if we hear something like this, that we start aligning ourselves with righteous ulama. Have people that you go to, that you know where they have studied, and you know where their mashayikh have studied as well, and they have certified ijaza. Okay, they have a sanad. And on top of that, if you think you have learned something, always be open. Always be open to be taught something different, or always be open to learn something new. Because if we have so much level of stubbornness, then we could be, unfortunately, or not, let's say other people, they might be like that individual that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, that they live life thinking that they are upon particular guidance, but when they reach there,